This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The inside scoop from one of the world's largest companies.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The largest company in the U.S. by revenue brought in almost $500 billion last year. It's on track to do even better this year. This company spends more money lobbying lawmakers in Washington than any other company, and yet few Americans know much about what goes on behind the company's closed doors. I'm talking about the oil giant ExxonMobil. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Steve Call has just written an extensive profile of the company called Private Empire, ExxonMobil, and American Power. It comes out today, and Steve Call joins us now from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I want to start with a quote in your book from the former CEO of Exxon, Lee Raymond, who said, quote, "I'm not a U.S. company and I don't make decisions based on what's good for the U.S." What did he mean by that?
Well, he's headquartered in the United States, but most of his employees live elsewhere, work elsewhere, and quite a lot of the profits that ExxonMobil makes are generated overseas and are difficult to repatriate. So they really see themselves as a global entity, sovereign and organized on behalf of their shareholders without reference to the government of the country where they happen to be headquartered.
But do they see themselves as representing American values overseas?
They do. The rule of law, American business practices, best practices. Yes, I think in that respect they do, but not equating themselves with the interests of the United States government and the countries where they work.
Let's talk about climate change. ExxonMobil, as you write, fought hard against the science of climate change under Lee Raymond, even hiring its own scientists when it didn't really like what other scientists were concluding.
Yeah, and they funded a lot of the most aggressive groups that were engaged in communication campaigns to challenge what was the emerging science at the UN and elsewhere in those years, right through the first Bush term and up till about 2006. Then Lee Raymond retired, and his successor has said that he felt like ExxonMobil had a problem when he came in about its communication and its attitude towards public policy matters of this type, and that he set out to at least review it without radically changing it. And he did change their position about climate gradually over the next 3 or 4 years.
Well, you say review without radically changing. Where do they stand now?
Well, first of all, they advocate a price on carbon-based fuels, which is unprecedented in their history. They are less certain about what the science actually shows. They remain a little more agnostic than I think most mainstream scientists are about the role of human industrial activity in warming. But they basically say, look, we recognize the risks are serious and the science is suggesting that they remain serious.
Finally, Exxon is in a battle right now with Apple to be the biggest company in the U.S. by market capitalization. Reading this book about the leadership at Exxon and reading the Steve Jobs biography, you see two totally different management styles. How do you make sense of that?
I mean, I had the same reaction. I read the Jobs biography, which is quite wonderful. And you just think, what kind of a country produces as its number one and two largest corporations, Apple on the one hand and ExxonMobil on the other hand? They're different businesses, of course, but the leadership styles really couldn't be more different. And they do reflect two sides of the American system. One very disciplined engineering and kind of management focused, that's Exxon, and the other very innovation focused and creative and California, which is what Apple's story is about.
But they're two very ruthless leaders in a way.
Yeah, and they have in common an emphasis on closed systems. I mean, one of the striking things about Apple and the Steve Jobs leadership style is that he did not open windows or a lot of outside compromises and partnerships. He did it his way, and that he very much had in common with ExxonMobil.
Steve Call is the author of Private Empire, ExxonMobil, and American Power. Steve Call, thanks so much.
Pleasure to talk to you.
And let's do the numbers. Stock markets are closed in many places overseas today for the May Day holiday, also known as International Workers' Day. In Tokyo, where stocks are trading, they're down almost 2%. The nation's largest 401k administrator, Fidelity, says its customer retirement accounts surged about 8% in the first quarter of this year. Compare that to the S&P 500, which is up 11% so far this year. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 14 points to close at 13,213.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Later this morning, we'll find out whether the big auto companies were still selling lots of cars in April. At the beginning of this year, Chrysler posted its best quarter in 13 years. But what has that meant for auto workers? Marketplace's Gregory Warner has that story.
Whatever benefits you have at work, chances are they were pioneered by the auto industry in the decades after World War II.
Absolutely. The social contract was really written between the auto industry and the UAW.
Ross Eisenbray at the Economic Policy Institute says now familiar benefits like pensions, health insurance, paid vacations, health care for retirees, all these were won first by auto unions, then demanded by workers around the country. Now, post-recession and post-bailouts, that auto worker safety net is in shreds. Gary Chason is a professor of industrial relations at Clark University.
There is no safety net for auto workers anymore. There's very little to fall back on, and they are very vulnerable to the hard times coming.
Retiree health care benefits are out, so are generous pension plans. And he says wages are half of what they once were, down to around $17 an hour. The one bright spot, you can buy a decent house in Detroit for $40,000. I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
And finally, while we're talking Detroit, Ford has an idea to make its car seats a little more comfortable. Fill them with cash. Seriously, Ford is thinking about adding old, shredded, out-of-circulation U.S. currency to its list of materials that can be used in seat cushions. So when they say you get $500 cash back with the purchase of a new Ford Focus, they might actually mean that. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.